welcome to episode 6 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Amy, Sandy, Robin, and Lindsay. Our topic today is resort types at Walt Disney World. We often recommend an on-site stay for Walt Disney World for many, many reasons, but there are still tons of choices when it comes to resort types and prices. There are more than 25 resorts on the Walt Disney World property, so we thought we'd discuss some of the basic differences as well as pros and cons for the various resort types. So, guys, I mean, I think first we should probably explain why we talk about staying on site so passionately. Does anybody want to sort of jump in and talk about why it's so important to stay on site?
I think it's the convenience more than anything, of just being right there in the midst of everything. I've stayed on site and off site. And, you know, just getting everybody rounded up in the morning to make it into the parks and then make it through the main gates and park and pay for your parking and then ride the little tram in towards the transportation ticketing center to where you're going. You can just be a little, you know, it takes a little bit out of your day. And if you stay on site, then you're right there on in the middle of everything that's Disney.
Yeah, I think the immersion is a big thing for me. I like just not having to think about anything else when I'm there, not having to drive my car if I don't want to. Another really big one is the extra magic hours, because the biggest tip that we have is get there early, you know, get there before rope drop, be at the parks when they open. If you can get that extra hour in the morning, you can knock out so much stuff before the crowds get there.
Now, of course, we have the Fast Pass Plus to contend with as well, and being able to put that 60 days in advance versus 30 days in advance if you're staying off property is the blessing.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. I actually think that's a great one. I mean, that 30-day difference can really make a difference. And it's not, you know, everybody can make dining reservations 180 days ahead of time. But getting those fast passes, if there's something that you really want that's premium, is a big seller. You also have things like package delivery, so that you can actually purchase something at the Magic Kingdom and it'll be sent over to your resort.
The Magic Bands.
Yes, and the Magic Bands, which now are available to off-site guests, but at a cost.
Yep, they have to
almost $13. So, I think all those things, and those Magic Bands are actually quite convenient for a lot of things. They sort of tie your whole trip together, so it is a nice advantage for sure.
If you're not staying on property, you lose my favorite feature of the Magic Band, being able to tap it and get in your hotel room.
So great. Yes, it opens everything. And I think, so let's talk a little bit about the different types of resorts. There are three major types of resorts. There's a couple of exceptions and we can talk about those, but there's the value, the moderate, and the deluxe. And I think the first distinction, I'll just go ahead and put it out there, the value is going to be the least expensive. The moderate is going to be in the middle, and then the deluxe is the most expensive. And the price differential can be quite extraordinary depending on when you're going, time of year that you're going. So let's just start with the values really quick. Why would somebody stay at a value resort on Walt Disney World property? Robin, what's the first thing that comes to mind as to the ideal person who would stay at a value resort?
The most of the people that I book at value resorts are people that have never been to Disney. They never thought they could afford Disney, but they want to be immersed. So they'll give me an amount of money that they can spend, and it's usually something in the value range. And they would rather stay there than stay off property.
Yeah, I think all the perks you get, I think that if you can jump from offsite to value and you're looking at hotel room, just, you know, like that size room, I would definitely go value every time. I mean, it's different if you have like condo or something, you know, like that's a different story. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth it.
Well, and I think some people don't realize that actually when you really add up the costs, a value resort could actually be as expensive or less expensive than staying off-site. Because when you factor in your daily parking, if you're staying at a value resort for 7 days versus you're staying off-site for 7 days, and if you plan on coming to Disney World all 7 of those days, you're racking up close to $20 a day in parking charges that, you know, you would just add that onto your hotel room, really, is what you would factor in.
The other thing that you can factor in regarding staying off property and at a value resort is that you qualify for the dining plan if you're staying at a value resort, whereas if you're off property, you don't have that possibility. And, you know, you can really, you know, it's not cheap to eat a la carte at Disney.
It's very true.
Great dining options. But, you know, I've done it both ways. And, you know, when you run up a $200 dinner tab for the four of us.
And I've had people tell me that even if they had to sit down and do the math and know that they weren't spending any different, they'd rather be on the dining plan and not think about it while they're on vacation and just have it paid for. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just taken care of and you don't have to stress about it.
One less thing to think about, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I've also had some larger families stay at some of the suites in the Value Resorts.
Yeah, that's a good option. Yeah.
Because the suites at Art of Animation have two bathrooms, and I want to tell you that is a big deal.
Yeah. And also at Music, because that's basically two rooms tied together is what they've, you know, that's what that resort is. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Art of Animation for a second, because that sort of steps us up into the next category, kind of. They call it a Value Plus. And part of the reason that it's that plus is that they have those suites. So the suites sleep six, with a queen size bed in the master bedroom and a bathroom, and then a separate room that is sort of a living room and kitchen area. And there's a pull-out sofa that's a double bed and a Murphy bed that's a double bed. Have any of you slept on one of those double beds in the Art of Animation suites?
My kids have slept in them, and I laid on both of them. They were very comfortable.
That's what I hear about them. I haven't had the chance to actually lay down on one. I've seen them very close, but I didn't actually
put my bottom in one.
So you really thought they were very comfortable, Robin?
Yeah. And I want to tell you that when we were there, my husband did not realize it was a Value Resort.
Oh, nice.
We had stayed at Pop Century before, and he thought it was a moderate resort or deluxe because of the fact that it had the two bathrooms, and it was so much bigger than the room at Pop Century. It was really nice.
Yeah, and the theming at that resort is just so well done. The whole, each section, you know, you got the Cars section, you got the Nemo section, you got the Lion King, you know, for the suites sections. And even just outside of the buildings, you're just immersed. And then the big pool, I don't know, it's a very cool resort.
Yeah. Just walking from one part to another, one theme to another, you could see just even in the flooring and in the, mm-hmm. the floral, it's wonderful.
Yeah. They have a good food court too.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Art of Animation, I think, has arguably one of the best food courts.
That's a perk too. Like if you're going to stay at Pop, you can walk across the bridge to Art of Animation and you can eat at their food court. You can't swim in the pool, but the food court is good. And that doubles your food choices, you know.
And by Pop, you mean Pop Century.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Pop Century.
We tend to abbreviate it.
So, no abbreviations here.
That's right.
That wasn't an acronym.
Actually, Pop Century. Yeah. So, yeah. And the interesting thing, as we're transitioning, I think we can move into the moderate resorts. One interesting thing to know about Art of Animation is they call it a Value Plus. It actually often prices higher than most of the moderates do. Mm-hmm. So where's the point? Where do you step your clients up to a moderate resort? Lindsay, do you have a thought on sort of what's the differentiation there?
I think it's a little, if they want a little more space, the beds are more queen than mm-hmm. the standard full size. Walls are a little thicker. You're not going to hear your neighbors as easily. Plus, if you're staying at a moderate, Port Orleans, Riverside, or French Quarter, you have the added bonus of the water trek taxi to Downtown Disney, which is a huge thing. So,
it really is huge because the bus system to Downtown Disney is less than desirable. So, yeah, that boat.
Well, and Port Orleans, Riverside, which is one of my favorites, has Yeehaw Bob. So you have a bar with an entertainer there, and, you know, if you want to go sing. And, yeah,
and that's the other thing, too, is the moderates actually have sit-down restaurants. You're looking at just counter service and the value.
And one other thing is that I think there's a step. One big difference between value and moderate is value resorts are heavily themed. And although that can be a plus for some people, for others, it can actually be a minus because you are actually being surrounded by huge, larger than life icons, lots of bright colors at a value resort. You've got huge, mm-hmm. you know, a huge Mr. Potato Head or a huge Rubik's Cube or a huge Lion King diorama. And if somebody is overly sensitive to that sort of stimulation, and even with a baby, you know, where you've got like just colors all the time, the moderates sort of tone the theming down. And Disney has made sure that there's theming that's Disney in everything. So you'll get, like in Port Orleans Riverside, you might get a hint at the Princess and the Frog, because we're sort of looking at that Louisiana theming or something like that. So you'll still get hints of Disney, but it won't be in your face, full color, larger than life. It'll be much more sort of resort, casual, suggestions.
The other thing that gets stepped up when you go from values to moderates too are the activities that the resort itself offers. Like at Port Orleans Riverside French Quarter, you can do the carriage rides, and there's fishing, and there's different types of activities that aren't offered at the values.
Yeah, and the pools have slides, so the pools are a little bit nicer.
The pools also have jacuzzis. Yeah. There's a jacuzzi, and there that doesn't exist at Value. So if you like to get into hot bubbling water after a long day at the parks, yeah. then in August. No, it's not quite so desirable. But I will say it's nice to stick your feet in there after you've been walking all day. Mm-hmm. And
all the water's bubbling in August.
Yeah. So so the other moderate resorts, we've talked about Port Orleans French Quarter and Port Orleans Riverside, but also Caribbean Beach and Coronado Springs. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that two of those resorts, Port Orleans Riverside and Caribbean Beach, have heavily themed rooms in them if you like that. And one is the princess rooms, the royal rooms, I believe is what they're called, mm-hmm. at Port Orleans Riverside, and then the pirate rooms at Caribbean Beach. So two very different types of theming for your kids, with a little bit more room and without the sort of surroundings of a value resort. But the moderates are also spread out a little bit more and are smaller than the value resort. So you won't have as many people there. They have fewer rooms as well. They're really spread out though, so they seem actually bigger, but you can be pretty far away from the main building in those.
I was going to say Coronado Springs is also a convention hotel.
Yes.
So you're going to have there's a business center there, and it has a little more amenities than the other hotels because of that.
Yeah. And actually I've heard it referred to as a moderate plus. Coronado Springs, because yeah, it's got those deep, rich woods and some, yeah, and more suite opportunities because they have hospitality suites and things like that. So.
Yeah. And their food court is phenomenal too. The
yes.
Pepper Market mm-hmm. or yeah, it's really good.
The sit down restaurant, maybe not as much.
So go ahead and spend so your,
I'm seeing a trend here with you and the foods.
Well, yeah, I do resort hop to eat. Yes, I do.
To break away from the food thing, we can switch to drinking. And I will say that one of the coolest bars, as far as resort bars, is actually at Coronado Springs,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Rick's.
Rick's, I think is what yeah. it's called. Yeah, and it's definitely catering to a convention crowd where they've, you know, been in meetings all day and then they want to have a cocktail afterwards. And it's
liquid libation.
It's yes. very hip, I yeah. think. Yeah. So, Amy, why would somebody step up to a deluxe resort? This is something I bet you can talk about.
And you're asking me because I'm so comfortable in deluxe
resorts. That's exactly why I'm asking you, Amy.
That's where I'm happy. I think it's more amenities of those deluxe. I mean, step up your amenities, step up your dining options. Better, I think, better dining options. You might have the full sit-down meals and even character dining at some of those. Mm-hmm. And better transportation, more choices. You might have boat launches instead of just a bus. And at three of those deluxe resorts, you get the monorail, just huge. I just think, I don't know, it's a step up. You know, you're at a luxury resort, and you have that idea in your head that's luxury.
Yep.
I don't know. I like it. I love it.
The rooms are larger, too. So you just get a little bit more space than.
And the standard rooms sleep five, which is, you know. I mean, if you have I have a family of five, so if you're looking at getting two rooms, value, or that's why we have always stayed in moderate, because Port Orleans Riverside, you can put five people in those rooms, but yeah, the deluxe ones. You can.
Yeah, and that is there's only I think only one resort, one moderate resort right now that can accommodate five. I think they're expanding that, But there's not very, very many choices there. But almost all of the deluxe resorts can handle five. Mm-hmm. So, oh, another moderate resort that we didn't talk about. One of the exceptions are the cabins at Fort Wilderness that can sleep six. So, I don't know. I think if they had value plus as a category when they created the cabins at Fort Wilderness, that might actually be a value plus. Yeah. But
it's priced more like a deluxe, in my opinion.
It is. And, you know, it has a kitchen. And I think that's part of the big thing. It has an actual kitchen. So those cabins do.
And they have, like, a nice deck. And, the campgrounds are really cool.
Yeah, it's sort of like an RV. I mean, it really is.
Like a little trailer.
A little trailer. For sure. So, I think with the deluxe resorts, we're talking about location, 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 to borrow from real estate. Yeah, I think, you know, if you really want to stay, you can stay within walking distance of Epcot if you're at Yacht or Beach Club or Boardwalk. Mm-hmm. And you can stay on the monorail with the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, and the Contemporary. And also,
can I just say one of the major attractions or the pluses to deluxe resorts that I happen to witness firsthand is we were there with my then 10-month-old daughter, who was, I think, hell-bent on trying to walk earlier than her brother had. But she was still bottle feeding, and Brainiac here actually left all the formula in the room at the Polynesian as we were out in Magic Kingdom for the day. And it was just the realization when we realized that she needed a feed and we didn't have anything with us, that I was able to go from Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom all the way back around on the monorail, back to the Polynesian, and back to the Magic Kingdom in less than 40 minutes. And save the day and not have too terribly cranky a child. It was really just, had we been anywhere else, it would have been a couple of hours at least to make that happen. So,
You imagine doing that offsite? I mean,
No, it's not even possible.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like an hour and a half. Yeah.
I mean, the Walt Disney property is the size of the island of Manhattan. And so just getting on and off of it takes you some time. I mean, it's not like you can just pop off and pop back on. No matter how close your resort or your rental home is, you're not on property. I mean, it's like you're always outside of the city limits, if you will. So,
well, another thing they do at the deluxe that I'm looking forward to, because we're getting ready to stay at Beach Club, is they do like movies on the beach and stuff. So, they just have like activities.
They do movies at most of the resorts. I've seen them at the Values also.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a good perk then. I've never taken advantage. We're always at the park so late. Yeah, we actually have a day that we get there very early in the morning and we're not doing a park that day. So it's going to be and Beach Club and Yacht Club have one of the best pools, I think, on property. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's my home.
Yeah, that's our plan is the pool. God, please don't let it rain that day. But
even if it rains, the pool is heated. I've been in that pool in the rain, and it's
as long as there's no lightning.
Yeah, my kids will swim in the rain. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I recently stayed at the Yacht Club, and I just love the fact that you could walk to Epcot.
Yeah,
and you could walk to Hollywood Studios, but obviously it's a little further.
Oh, I've done that many times. I've run that whole spot. Yeah.
And another thing to say about the deluxe resorts, when we're talking about location, you know, those monorail resorts, two of them are the original Walt Disney World resorts. So if you're a little geeky about history and you want to stay at one of the originals, you actually can. And it's been updated. So don't worry. It's not the 1971 version that you're used to. Although I think they've maintained a lot of the integrity of the original history in both of those cases. And incidentally, the campgrounds also, if you like to camp, and I don't. I take great pride in not camping, but I think that also an original.
But we should mention the campgrounds just a little bit more because they do some cool stuff. There's people that come and stay at the campgrounds like for months in the winter, and if you are there at Halloween time, they've got their campsites decked out. If you're there at Christmas, you can do like the horse buggy rides, you know, through there, and people have Christmas lights up around their campsite, and so there's some cool stuff there too. It's kind of, and that's where they still do Segway tours. They don't do your Segway tours through Epcot anymore. So if you want to do a Segway tour, you got to go to Fort Wilderness.
You can also rent the golf carts, and a lot of people go and they rent the golf carts and they deck them out. And at Christmas time, they put lights on them, and at Halloween time, they sometimes put decorations. I had clients down there a few weeks ago, and they said they stayed in the cabins, and they saw people who had Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
On their golf carts. Thank you.
Yeah, and you can go horseback riding. You can do archery lessons. That's where they stable the horses that are on Main Street. I mean, it's really cool. And then they do the whole campfire sing along thing with Chip and Dale, which is pretty awesome too. So I mean, yeah, it's cool. It's very. I mean,
you review.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up camping with my family, so camping to me is. I would have loved to have stayed there. We stayed at Jellystone Park. Sorry.
About some of the deluxe resorts as well is because of their proximity to places like Magic Kingdom, you can often get the music from the fireworks display, mm-hmm. the wishes piped in. And actually, instead of having to contend with all the crowds in front of Cinderella Castle, actually enjoy the fireworks without having to be really, really close to your newfound friends on the beach at the Polynesian, or you can see it from the Contemporary at the California Grill. You can often step outside the restaurant grounds and see the fireworks.
Well, and you can book.
You could also see the electrical water pageant.
Absolutely, yes. That's another good point. A lot of people miss that.
You can book theme park view rooms in those two resorts as well as the Grand Floridian. And, you know, I've stayed in one before, and I've had many people tell me it's such a waste of money because I'm never in the resort. But I can assure you that if you're in your resort, it's probably at night, and it is super cool. Even though you can't hear the music, it is super cool to watch the fireworks from your room. It's really something to be able to, and I will say the balconies of the Contemporary are sort of a cross between a balcony and a French balcony. They're not exactly a French balcony. You have enough room for a chair, but if you actually want to sit in that chair, you better not have any knees or, you know, so very, very small balconies, but you can just open the window. I mean, you can open the sliding glass door and hear the booms of the fire. Not that you have to open the sliding glass door to hear the booms because they're loud, but being right there is really something else. Amy, are you back to the camping thing? Amy, are you a camper?
No.
So you're with me on this. So I need to tell you, one day you have to let Sandy convince you to tent camp for one night. But here's the secret. It's really awesome, but here's the secret. Make sure that Sandy gets there several hours before you and sets up the tent.
She has her 5:30 alarm on too.
She was there at 1:00 in the afternoon, and she and her daughter set up the tent in the 8 million degree heat.
Yeah, it was August.
My daughter and I showed up at 6 p.m. and we're like, oh, the tent's set up. It's awesome.
Yeah, but you rented the golf cart, so that made it worth it to me.
So I did. It was really cool. I will say, I mean, Sandy and I were sitting out looking at the stars at this campground. It was so quiet right next to Walt Disney World. And Sandy was like, isn't this awesome? We might have been drinking a beer. And Sandy was like, isn't this awesome? I was like, yeah, no, it is awesome. But I will say I didn't set up the tent. So
yeah, but if you were in a moderate or a deluxe, you don't have a balcony. You're not sitting outside of your, my dad will drag his little office chair in the room out onto the walkway and sit outside, you know, but that's my dad. But otherwise you're not sitting outside like that. And it was nice. It was really cool. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Another thing that's great about the deluxe is you kind of talked about the decorations at the campground. My husband and I have stayed at Grand Floridian on Christmas time, and the warm chestnuts and the gingerbread house and all the decorations in the deluxe really are a step up. I mean, everything in Disney is covered in lights and garland for Christmas, but the deluxe resorts really take it a step further. And then they, you know, have the different holiday activities along with that.
Oh, yeah. We could do a whole show on Christmas at Disney, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the Bay Lake Towers, are those available for, are they only timeshare?
No,
any villa you pretty much can get for cash. Their availability is different though, so you may need to wait until 7 months before.
Those are kind of a lot of people.
They actually pop up for sale at 11 months, because I've booked some at 11 months.
Yeah, you can get them at 11 or 7. It sort of depends on how members have banked their points. And yeah, it's all, there's lots of math that happens.
And that would be considered deluxe, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. It's actually just considered a villa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, deluxe villa.
And that's a category we actually didn't talk about. So thank you for bringing it up. There are timeshare properties on the Disney property. They're part of the Disney Vacation Club. And they are studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and three bedroom villas at various places. Some of them actually on the monorail. In fact, as we are recording this, they're building, actually for a while now, they've been building some overwater bungalows at the Polynesian, which is, yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
Except for the people who've been staying at the Polynesian for the last few months. It's not so super cool for them. But yeah, so some really great choices. Great for extended families. I've actually booked many multi-generational trips into those villas, because not only do you have the extra room in a Bay Lake Tower, for example, and several of them can do this. At Bay Lake Tower, you can sleep nine and you have three bedrooms.
Yeah.
You have a full kitchen as well.
And if you are looking, you're in the market for that and you are kind of sticker shocked at Bay Lake Tower, you know, the Saratoga Springs and Old Key West are a little bit further out, so you can't walk to any resorts from those, but they are a little bit more affordable and they're just as big and nice.
And Animal Kingdom Lodge is another one that we haven't talked about much. It's actually a great resort that has tours and lots of history, but also has animals in your backyard. And there are both regular resort rooms, deluxe, but less expensive actually than some of the monorail resorts are, but also villas.
Lindsay, didn't you say you had a really good experience staying Club Level at Animal Kingdom?
I got upgraded to concierge level when I was on my it was my birthday and honeymoon trip without my husband because he was in Iraq. They met me at the door. I thought I'd done something wrong. They met me at the door with a folder and they're Miss Bauer, and they took me up to concierge, and I was there for 9 nights and it was fantastic. But to wake up every morning, I will say this about the deluxe. I tend to stay at the deluxes when I want to spend more time enjoying the resorts.
Yeah.
It's not a category I recommend for people who are going to be up before the crack of dawn and gone and never back in their hotel room at all. I just wanted to soak it in. It was really hard for me that week to leave, especially with all the food spread. In my personal opinion, it's the best concierge. The food is incredible at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It was hard to drag yourself away.
I happen to know that Neil Patrick Harris really enjoys staying at Animal Kingdom concierge level. I'm going to name drop right there. In fact, I'll name drop another name. I'm going to go ahead and call him out. So I went with a friend of mine to see the Candlelight Processional, which is a Christmas event at Epcot, which I'm sure we will talk about in other episodes here. And my good friend and Lindsay's good friend, Andy Jackson, was kind enough to email me from the concierge lounge while we were there and say, guess who I'm sitting beside in the concierge lounge? I was like, no way. And he said, way.
I was just going to ask you if that's who you were talking about.
Yes.
Was it Neil Patrick Harris?
It was Neil Patrick Harris who was sitting beside, yes. And wow. Yeah, exactly. He was like, I just looked over and there he was sitting beside me. So,
of course, it isn't very popular with celebrities, but it's also got kind of a history. I mean, the Polynesians, where the Beatles made their decision to split.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the Contemporary Resort is actually where Nixon delivered his I Am Not a Crook Thief. So, he was a huge fan of Walt Disney World, so... Well, we're actually out of time. Did anybody want to add anything else before we sign off?
Well, it's not important, but I was going to tell you I saw Sugar Ray.
I met George Foreman on my monorail one time.
I could have gotten a picture with him, except for I was in my swimsuit on the way to Stormalong Bay, and that wasn't going to happen.
Actually was in the Magic Kingdom the same time as Britney Spears, but I really don't care. So... Okay, well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Andy, Amy, Sandy, Lindsay, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.